The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by MECU, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome this hour. We are going to take a look at single payer, but not just look at single payer. It came across the news yesterday that 8 people were arrested at the Senate Finance Committee, 3 of them from Baltimore. Those 3 who were arrested are with us today. We're going to talk about single payer, why it's being left out of the battle, and why these 3 people were arrested, and why 3 physicians were arrested among the 8. So stay with us for that, but right now, we want you to get home safe. Remind you, support for WEAA traffic is provided by Home Depot. Information on gardening and outdoor living at HomeDepotGardenClub.com.
Leo, stand in recess until the police come to store order. Leo, stand in recess until the police come to store order.
We want a seat at the table. Single payer must be.
What did he say?
I didn't hear it.
We need more police. Single payer needs to be on the table. This is political.
That's a clip, and we'll play some more clips from the Senate Finance Committee yesterday on Tuesday, where people, the Senate Committee had a hearing, and the hearing was to determine what kind of health care system the United States is going to have, because so many of our citizens, 60 million citizens, are not covered by health care insurance. The number is growing. Well, one of the groups left off the table, and the ideas left off the table by Senator Max Baucus, who chairs the Finance Committee, is single payer. And that was not in the discussion at all. What was in the discussion were all the people from every other position in the insurance industry and related industries, but not the single-payer advocates. Now, what you just heard was Dr. Margaret Flowers, who was a pediatrician and co-chair of Physicians for National Healthcare Reform here in Maryland. And you heard her, 8 people, one after the other, stood up at that committee hearing asking to be heard. They were all arrested. 3 doctors were arrested. Dr. Flowers is one of them. 3 Baltimoreans were arrested. They were all there. Margaret Flowers is there. Kevin Zeese, director of Prosperity Agenda, .us, and Adam Schneider, who works for Healthcare for the Homeless but acted yesterday as an independent healthcare advocate, was also arrested. They join us in studio now to talk about what happened, about why single-payer advocates and the single-payer idea is left off the table of discussion. They are all part of the leadership conference of Guaranteed Healthcare, National Single Payer Healthcare Alliance. And it's interesting. They are all members of the steering committee that represents 20 million people nationwide. 20 million people nationwide. And some polls are saying the majority of people in America support, or a large number of people in America support single payer, but it's not in the debate. Why? Well, we're talking with 3 advocates this hour, all of whom were arrested yesterday at the Senate Finance Committee, and Margaret Flowers, Kevin Zeese, and Adam Schneider. Welcome. Good to have you all with us.
Thank you, Mark.
So, and the number here, we're open at 410-319-8888. What are your thoughts on our healthcare system, and how many of you are without it? How many of you have been stuck because you have healthcare issues and that you do not have health care to pay for it, or your insurance is not enough? And what do you think our insurance future should be for health? 410-319-8888, or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. So let's talk about what happened yesterday. So we heard this clip. I'm going to hear the clip of Adam Schneider being arrested in a moment and talk about that. But so tell me, Margaret, first, we'll start with you and we'll go around the room. What drove you all to Washington to stand up before a committee.
I drove.
I don't mean literally.
Thank you, Kevin. Yes. Thank you. Because this was actually the culmination of events. And so we've all been working on healthcare advocacy for a while. And particularly after President Obama was elected, we're very hopeful that our voice would be heard since he understands single payer. And we've been meeting with members of Congress and asking them to, you know, include single payer. We've had a good response on the House side for the most part, but on the Senate side, really have not been able to make inroads. And so when we heard that this roundtable discussion, this hearing was going to be held last week, and we looked at who was invited, we saw that it was representatives of health insurance lobbyists, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and all the big industry players. But our voice was not being heard. No physicians were invited. So we mounted a call-in campaign, a fax campaign, focusing on the senators who are on the committee, asking them to include a single-payer voice. And it came down to the day before the event, and it was the office said very clearly that there would be no more invitations. So we did travel there. We are all healthcare advocates. We all are knowledgeable in this area. We came in our professional attire to the hearing, and as the hearing was starting, one of our members of our group stood up and said, we're here. Will you include us at the table? Will you give us a seat at the table? And he was quickly arrested and taken from the room. So I stood up second, you know, to say that I'm here, that we want our voice included. And one by one, we stood up and made the request. And one by one, we were arrested and taken from the room. And you heard the laughter. It was as I sat there when the hearing was starting and looked at the people who were holding this hearing and saw them talking to each other and smiling, I could see that they weren't really understanding the gravity of the endeavor that they were undertaking and the number of people who are suffering and dying right now who could be treated if we had a national health system.
And I wonder, turning to Kevin Zeese, and we'll go to Adam Schneider, why we think that the single-payer advocates are not part of this conversation in the Senate Finance Committee. I mean, there was a statement I read a few weeks back when we first had Margaret Flowers and others on here, where then Senator Barack Obama, said the single payer was the only system that made any sense in America. He did include in his March 9th meeting a single payer organization in the conversation they had at the White House. Senator Max Baucus, who chairs this committee, is a Democrat from Montana, reportedly told the Helena Independent Record that a single payer healthcare system is quote unquote off the table. And so what's the politics going on here, Kevin Zeese?
Well, it's the politics of money. What was on display yesterday very clearly for everybody to see was pay-to-play politics. Everybody who testified has been making big donations to Max Baucus and to the members of that Senate Finance Committee. It's the insurance industry. It's the HMOs. It's the pharmaceutical industry. It's the business interests. That's who owns that committee. You know, a couple days ago, Dick Durbin said the banking industry owns the Senate. Well, when it comes to the Senate Finance Committee, the health insurance industry owns that committee. And single-payer health care is effective, it's cost-effective, because it removes the unnecessary and pretty corrupt health insurance industry. It's 30% of the cost of health care in the United States. There's no way we can afford to provide health care to all, you know, from cradle to grave, without getting rid of that waste, fraud, and abuse that we just don't need. And because it's challenging the status quo, that's why President Obama no longer supports it. That's why Max Baucus does not support it. We had to fight to get two people. One was John Conyers, and one was Representative of Physicians for National Health Program, to get two people in that White House meeting. It took a lot of effort just to get them in there. And then they were never allowed to talk publicly at Obama's meeting. So it was a token gesture by Obama. But even he, you know, if you look at his funding sources, go to opensecrets.org, you'll see that he's also taking a lot of money from these people. It's about money versus people. And right now, the people are unorganized. Right now, we're getting in the media this gloss. Obama's going to provide health care to all. You know, he's going to make health care more affordable. He's going to make it more affordable by giving money, taxpayer dollars, to the health insurance industry. This is a corporate giveaway, a repaying of their donors. So when I spoke yesterday, I said, we need a committee that's going to put the needs of the people before the profits of their donors. We don't have that in the Senate Finance Committee. It's going to be a big, if we want to have a health care system that we can afford that works for us, we need to get organized. And that's why it's great we have 20 million people in this coalition, but it's not enough.
Adam Schneider.
Yes, Mark. Thank you for having this important issue on today.
I appreciate you being part of the show, and you were also among the three Baltimoreans and eight people arrested yesterday. Now, I know you did not go down as a member of Healthcare for the Homeless, as an employee of that organization. That group has been on this show many times, fighting for healthcare for the poor in this
Indeed.
Community. But talk about, if you could, just from your perspective of seeing what drove you to Washington and how much that has to do with, if it does, what you've seen from the street out in your work in healthcare for the homeless.
Yeah, as you said, Mark, healthcare for the homeless has long been a supporter of single payer, though yesterday I did take the day off to come down and be part of this action in Washington. What we see coming in the door, what I see coming in the door, is people who have been left behind by many, many systems. Fundamentally, homelessness is a symptom of broken public policies. When people end up on the streets, it's because systems have failed them. And there are many, many people that I meet and talk with in my work every day that end up on the streets, in shelters, because of untreated health care issues. And because there are many of whom have had health insurance in the past, but their health insurance wasn't able to withstand the personal health emergencies that arose in their lives. One friend of mine, Bob, who has been speaking out for a while now on this issue, Bob was working in South Baltimore at a construction distribution company, and had good health insurance, made good money. When he told me what he was making, I was pretty envious. So he had the American dream. He had a house, mm-hmm. he had a car, he had it all. And what happened was he got sick. He got sick, and he lost his job. Then he lost his health insurance. He was in the hospital. He was in nursing homes. The medications that he had to take themselves were more than he could afford. He had to sell his house. The money that he made on the sale of his house was blown through in no time at all. And a short period after he was living the American dream, he was living in a shelter in South Baltimore. Because he got sick. That was the reason that he was there. It was because he got sick and because he didn't have health security. This is just one of many, many stories.
Well, the question I'm going to kind of pursue with the three of you is, and let me read a quote here. I was looking in the Daily Kos, and they had this quote from Max Baucus, about the healthcare situation in America and single payer. Let me read it for you, three of you and all of our listeners here. By the way, we're talking about the single payer advocates, eight of them who were arrested yesterday in the U.S. Senate Finance Committee. The U.S. Senate Finance Committee was holding a roundtable on the future of healthcare in America. Single payer was not at the table. They were not even allowed to be part of the discussion. And industry representatives were a huge part of this discussion, even though single payer was in the White House talking on March 9th with the rest of the people and President Obama. They were not invited, and the latest polls show that an increasing majority of people in America support an idea of a single payer system, but for some reason it's not part of our national discussion. Maybe these are opening people's minds and eyes to making it part of this national discussion. The head of the Finance Committee is Senator Max Baucus, who is a Democrat from Montana. Bear with me here. I'm going to read you these statements that Max Baucus made when he was asked about the healthcare situation and single payer. And this was his quote. And I think at this time in this country, single payer is not going to even get to first base in the Congress. We're a big country. It's, you know, a battleship. We're an ocean liner. We're not a PT boat. We're not a speedboat. It takes time to turn those big, big ships. You can't just turn them overnight. And we are the United States of America. We're a different country. We've constituted differently from European countries than Canada and other countries. We're a younger country where there's a more of an entrepreneurial sense in America than in those other countries. It's kind of, quote, go west, young man, end quote, in, you know, America and so forth. And so we've got to come up with our uniquely American result. A uniquely American result will be a combination of public and private insurance, but one in which everyone is covered. And just my judgment, and every member of Congress agrees with me, I think, at least those I've spoken with, that this is not the time to push for single payer. It may come down, it may come later, but it's not going to happen in America, in my view, so I'm not going to waste time by pushing on something that is just not going to happen.
Well, I think you may be right. I mean, the health insurance industry has spent a lot of money to buy Congress, but a couple of things he's wrong about. First, there are single-payer bills in the Senate and the House with multiple endorsers, co-sponsors, and so not everybody in Congress agrees. And so I think he's already overstaying there. As far as uniquely American approach, Medicare is uniquely American. Why not apply that to all Americans if you want a uniquely American approach? And as far as the entrepreneurial spirit goes, there's a lot more entrepreneurial spirit when the workers have health care. Then they can take risks. They can change jobs without fear of losing their health care. Right now, healthcare constrains the entrepreneurial spirit because you can't take that risk. You can't leave that job and lose that healthcare. So I think Baucus is basically spouting the line of the pharmaceutical industry and the health insurance industry and covering it with this kind of American entrepreneur, Western move, cowboy, we're all cowboy kind of images. And it's just a false statement that we know single payer works. It works in the United States now.
Yeah,
Margaret Flowers.
I just wanted to respond to that because the only group or body in this country that doesn't want a single payer solution, it seems to be our government, you know, our Congress members, because the majority of the public, multiple independent polls have shown that the public wants a national health program, and even the majority of physicians want a national health program.
And nurses, yes,
and healthcare providers, I should say. I would love it if some physicians are listening, if they would call in and share their experiences, because I hear every day from my colleagues the frustration that they undergo trying to treat their patients and provide quality care when the health insurance industry administrators are telling them what they can and cannot do. And so the public and the providers want this, and that was our point. But this has got to be like a civil rights movement. And that was one of the reasons for our action yesterday, because having a national health system would provide health care as a human right. We're the only industrialized country that doesn't recognize that. And so that's where we need to go from here.
As Kevin said, we already have single-payer administered programs. Medicare is a single-payer administered program. The VA is a single-payer administered program. Could they be administered? Do they need to be expanded? Do they need to be improved? Absolutely. But are those anti-American institutions? That just doesn't seem to pass muster.
The number here is 410-319-8888. Three Baltimoreans, eight people, three of them physicians, were all arrested at the U.S. Senate Finance Committee yesterday during hearings about the future of health care, where single payer was not put on the table. I'd like to hear your thoughts about the future of healthcare in America, about your ideas for or against single payer, what you've heard about it, what you think it means, and why you think it's being left out of this discussion, what you think America should do about healthcare. 410-319-8888, or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. When I was looking at the committee and the people who were there who testified, I mean, the groups that testified there were the Heritage Foundation, which is a very conservative right-wing think tank.
Yes.
The Business Roundtable. Henry J. Kaiser Family Foundation's Healthcare Marketplace Project, which is his own HMO. The National Federation of Independent Businesses. But also the American Association of Retired People, AARP, was there.
Well, they profit from their own insurance policies. They make money from that.
The American Health Insurance Plan, which is the organization that represents all the health insurance companies in the country, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the New America Foundation, which I thought was on the single-payer side.
No, not at all.
Not at all. No. Families USA.
Also not.
No.
And the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. And so the people from certain health schools, let me see what I'm trying to get to here. Democratic Governors, the National Governors Association, Blue Cross Blue Shield was there, but the Service Employees International Union was there as well and testified.
Andy Stern.
And they're not for single payer, I take it then.
AFL-CIO is divided on it. They haven't taken a position yet, but SEIU is not a supporter.
So they were previously.
They were in the past, but Andy Stern has kind of moved, let's say.
Well, it's interesting that almost all of the people who were in this roundtable represented business.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Or the insurance industry.
Welcome to the Democratic Party in control. Huh?
Or supported the agenda of those groups.
That's right.
Let me open the phones at 410-319-8888. Your thoughts on healthcare in America and our future and the people being arrested and how you get the single payer conversation into the conversation, I should say, about the future of healthcare in America. And Cindy and Timonium, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks. I agree with what's being said, and I just wanted to add to that that to have your insurance through your job is a pretty illogical idea, because if you get sick and lose your job, then you've lost your health care insurance as well. That's it.
In fact, yesterday when we got arrested, out near the end of the arrest process, hours and hours and hours into it, we were kind of exhausted. We were in a room with one of the police officers, and he mentioned how his mother had lost her job and lost her insurance. And so he saw this mess. It's amazing. Anywhere you go, you find these stories. That's why you have supermajority support for a single-payer national health care system. And you compare health care systems around the world, the United States is like 18th.
37th in quality.
And 37th in quality.
Yeah.
And, you know, France is number one, and Canada's up there, and Holland's up there. Yeah. All the single-payer countries are near the top, and we're down for a developed country near the bottom of the developed countries. And we live shorter lives. Mm-hmm. We live less healthy lives. And it's a system that's not working, but that doesn't seem to matter to Congress right now.
We had a caller who just called in who didn't stay on the line,
You made a good point about employment.
Yes. Right, who did not stay on the line.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And Brian Boone, our intern, took the call and just wrote in here that a caller would like us to define, have people on this panel define what we mean by single payer.
Go ahead, Mark.
Sure. I'd love to do that. What we're talking about is creating a national health care system. What we have right now is not a system. It's very fragmented. There are a lot of different people paying into it. So when you create a system, we're creating a publicly funded system where all of our healthcare dollars would go into a single fund, and then that fund would be used to pay for healthcare. Right now, we waste about 30% of our healthcare dollars on paperwork. If we create a healthcare system modeled like traditional Medicare, we'll spend about 3-5% of our healthcare dollars on administration, and then the rest of that, 95-97%, is going to go into actual healthcare. So we have enough money to take care of everybody. It doesn't change the provider side. Doctors and hospitals stay the same. They're just paid differently. It's a different way of financing.
Right. It's not that people won't be able to choose the doctor that they want to go to. We hear that all the time, and we hear it by people that know better. It's not that people won't be able to. Health care provision won't change. What will change is the way that we finance it. And what will change is that everybody is covered. You know, this is the 55th anniversary this month that in education, we said that the Supreme Court said that separate is inherently equal. And right now, we have a entirely fragmented system. And so some people get great care, and the vast majority, are like Bob. They're like the police officer's mother who have a very, very difficult time getting care and just hope and pray that they don't get sick, because if they do, they're going to be out of luck.
Let me say something, Mark, before you go on. Fragmented is a very important word to understand. We have more than 1,500 private insurers in this country. The bureaucracy is amazing. There are hospitals that have, for every bed in the hospital, someone who deals with health
billing,
insurance.
Billing, yeah.
Yeah, billing. One person per one administrator per bed. The whole country of Canada spends as much on overhead as Massachusetts spends, one state. And in Canada, I mean, the United States, 20% of the typical doctor's office overhead is spent on dealing with insurance companies. We know from our own personal lives, dealing with the insurance companies is a big headache. And in Canada, it's a postcard. The doctor has a postcard they fill out, they send it in, and the payment happens. It's a much simpler system. We don't have to have 1,500 private insurers trying to profit from illness.
Of course, Americans, some would posit against that it gives people choice.
No, but the choice is actually bigger the other way, because what happens really is you get choice of health insurance companies, but you don't get choice of doctors. You get to you have health insurance. The health insurance company says, here's the doctors you can go to. Here's the hospital you can go to. Sorry it's not near your neighborhood, but that's who we approved. And so with a single-payer system, it actually increases freedom. You can choose any doctor, any hospital, any clinic you want and go to it.
I just want to make a quick – okay.
I just wanted to get to the phones, but
okay. I just wanted to say that it also allows patients and doctors to choose their treatments instead of insurance administrators choosing the treatments. So if your choice is your choice of insurance, go there. But I think most Americans actually want a choice of doctor, hospital, and treatment.
Advocates for single-payer health care insurance in America are being left out of the discussion in the U.S. Senate and the U.S. Congress. They're demanding to be in. Majority of Americans seem to be for it. 20 million people are part of the organization that these people represent. 8 of them were arrested yesterday at the Finance Committee trying to have their voices heard, standing up asking why they were not at the table in this discussion. 3 of them are from Baltimore. Those 3 people are with us today, Dr. Margaret Flowers, Kevin Deese, and Adam Schneider. Number here is 410-319-8888. Karen, in your car, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi, Karen.
I just wanted to say a couple things. Number one, I think it's a matter, again, of educating the public because, you know, they think it's like socialized medicine where, you know, they're not going to get the surgeries they want. They'll have to wait in line. And there's a lot of misconceptions out there about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great you're having this show. Number two, as we know, I feel like the government is being bought out by the lobbyists for the insurance companies and the HMOs, and that's why they're not moving on this. And number three, I think we need to take to the streets and organize.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, I mean, how else do you get your message across? You can't write to your congressman anymore. You know, you send an email, it doesn't do anything. So I think you've got to show some numbers. You've got to show support from people who have credibility, hospitals, doctors, all of that, and get out there and get the message out.
Can I
tell
about an opportunity? Well, first off, we represent Maryland Physicians for National Health Program. We're happy to come out and speak to any group and educate about this. That's a lot of what we do. But next Wednesday, there will be a march and a rally in Washington, D.C. If you're ready to come out and take to the streets, please join us. I guess what I'll do is I'll post that on our Maryland PNHP website, which is www.md.pnhp.org.
And we will link to that site on our site. It'll be there after the show, so you can get to that as well. And I think that it is true about socialized medicine. My father was a physician and kind of a people's physician. He never made a ton of money, but he took care of a lot of people. And he used to rail in the 50s when I was a kid and the 60s against socialized medicine, the AMA, and the fight against it. As he ended near the end of his career, and he practiced until he was 84, and he loved medicine and people, said, I made a mistake. Single-payer is the only way we should go. It's the only thing that makes any sense.
A lot of doctors admit
it's amazing.
That.
I mean, to watch the medical profession turn around.
It's very different now.
You can see it from the Clinton era to now.
Yeah, huge change.
We have to take a break, unfortunately. We'll come right back. And Sheldon and Vernon, our next two callers, we're going to come right back to your calls as we talk with Dr. Margaret Flowers, Kevin Deese, and Adam Schneider, all of whom were arrested yesterday at the Finance Committee hearings in the U.S. Senate because they're demanding that single-payer, at the very least at this moment, be part of the national political discussion for the future of health care, and it is not on the table because of wallets are not deep enough. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. Over 70 years later, they're still here to help people during difficult times. For more information, you can go to mecu.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, reminding you the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late, Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-6000. 7555. And someone wrote to me and asked me, is that a private business? No, it's a government agency trying to help people who are about to lose their homes and trying to help them figure out how to keep their homes. That's going to be happening more and more, unfortunately, in our country as well. We're talking today, in this hour, about what happened at the U.S. Finance Committee, Senate Finance Committee, yesterday. Eight people were arrested because they were trying to get the single-payer health care system idea on in the debate about the future of health care. Three of them were doctors. Three of them were Baltimoreans. Those three Baltimoreans are with us today. Adam Schneider works for Healthcare for the Homeless, but acted yesterday as an independent healthcare advocate. Kevin Zeese is director of Prosperity Agenda. And Dr. Margaret Flowers is a co-chair of Physicians for National Healthcare Reform and Maryland for Healthcare Now. Number here is 410-319-8888. And let's go right to the phones. And Verna in Randallstown, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Verna.
I was calling to make a comment. The last caller said just what I wanted to say. How can the public get involved with getting the single payment system on the table? How can we do that? And one of the guests gave a website, and I was wondering if that's going to be on your website that we can access.
On steinershow.org, we will put it on our website. It'll be there. And wait a minute, Kevin wants to say something.
I was going to say that the reason my group's involved is we deal with economic justice and this project we call prosperityagenda.us, which I hope you'll also link to.
Sure.
prosperityagenda.us. We see that healthcare is, if we don't do healthcare right, we're not going to get the economy right. If you look out in the future, deficits are going to be caused by healthcare and the amazing uncontrollable cost that's going on. So we got to get healthcare right to start to get the economy right. It's a critical linchpin. So, and Prosperity Agenda is basically a place where we're trying to develop an economy for all of us, where we're going to debate and discuss different economic issues, you know, ranging a great deal of a wide various areas, and then develop strategies to make them happen. What we need from people right now in this healthcare debate is to commit to get involved. You know, next Tuesday is another hearing that Baucus and the corrupted finance committee are holding, and there it's on the question of finance. And my question on finance is, how do you take millions of dollars and turn them into billions of dollars? Contribute to the Senate Finance Committee. They'll guarantee your business makes billions and gets hundreds of millions in corporate welfare.
Before we turn to Dr. Margaret Flowers and to Adam Schneider to also respond to Verna. Verna, are you still there? Verna, still with us?
Yes.
Okay. Verna, I wanted to ask you about your friends and your community and conversations you have about when they talk about healthcare. What is the tenor, the feeling of people in Randallstown and friends of yours about this issue?
Most of my friends who are working are covered by the employers. A few of them have been laid off, and of course, once they're laid off, they do not have healthcare. My church members, a lot of them are seniors. And if they're on Medicare, they have a supplement. Of course, the premiums are high. So it's a lot of concerns with medicines or their prescriptions. It's a lot of concerns that they have.
Now, Margaret, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I want to thank Verna for calling and for her interest in being involved. There are two very concrete things that you can do. One is to do what you're doing now, is to educate yourself and to educate others. What I try to do is speak to at least one person a day about single-payer health care, and hopefully that person will also commit to speaking to one person a day. But the second thing you can do that's very concrete is you can go to the Healthcare Now of Maryland website if you have access, and we post articles and information about events. There are ways you can get involved, and I'll ask if Mark can make a link to that. But it's www.md for Maryland singlepayer.org, and you can click and subscribe to the listserv on that website.
Thank you so much for that call, Vernon. Glad you joined us today, and I hope you and your friends do get involved.
Mark, if I can just say,
yeah, Adam, go ahead.
I think that Verna's call a number of the calls demonstrate it's not that single payer isn't part of the discussions that are happening around other tables. They're happening around tables everywhere across the country, around dinner tables and every other type of table. They're happening, in fact, in the Capitol Police Station around a fingerprinting table. Yesterday.
At least when we're there, right, Adam?
Discussion happened, and I have to say that I think that was the most powerful part of the day for me yesterday, was hearing the police officer who was processing us saying his mom is 62 years old, lost her job, she's not old enough to qualify for Medicare, She's not poor enough to qualify for Medicaid and not disabled to qualify for Medicaid. He was paying COBRA health insurance, but that was too much for him. And, you know, these discussions are happening everywhere. The solitary place that they seem not to be happening is in the Senate Finance Committee. That's the place that single-payer, that's the table that it's not at and it needs to be at.
We're talking about single-payer health care again on this hour of the Mark Steiner Show because 8 people were arrested at the United States Senate Finance Committee yesterday. 3 of them are from Maryland. 3 of them are with us, Dr. Margaret Flowers, Kevin Zeese, and Adam Schneider. It was covered in the Wall Street Journal. It was covered by a number of newspapers who were there who saw what happened. Pardon me, and for coughing. And so the country is beginning to kind of wake up to the fact that whatever health care system we end up choosing in America and the battle that takes place to cover every American with health care, what has to happen, at least at the very beginning, people are arguing, is that single-payer health care needs to be at the table in the debates. The American can people can hear all sides of this debate. 410-319-8888 is the number here. If you look at the list of people who are allowed to make statements to the U.S. Senate Finance Committee, 80% of them were industry spokespeople for either big business or for businesses or for the healthcare insurance industry. 410-319-8888. Sheldon in Pikesville, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to comment on an aspect of the relationship between healthcare and the collapse of the auto industry.
Good point.
The press has reported on this, but they haven't picked up the implication. Before the auto industry collapsed, the UAW and GM agreed that the UAW would take over the administration of the retiree health plan and that GM would fund that with money. Now, with the collapse of the industry, that has changed to GM, quote-unquote, funding the retiree health plan with GM stock. Well, even back in the day when GM stock was actually worth something, I don't know how many insurance companies would accept stock in payment for premiums. Now the stock's not worth anything. The UAW is going to wind up with the obligation to administer the plan, and it won't be funded. The collapse of the auto industry was a perfect opportunity to move to single-payer through some kind of Medicare for all. Instead, the government has completely squandered that opportunity.
Margaret, did you want to?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And actually, right now is the perfect time to go to single payer because we have this economic crisis, which has really hurt the health insurance industries. They lost a lot of money last October because they are financial institutions who invest their profits. In addition to that, because of the economic downturn and the number of people becoming unemployed, 14,000 people a day in America are losing their health insurance. So what the insurance companies are asking for right now and why they're so involved is they need a bailout. They're asking the government to bail them out by mandating every person to purchase their product and using tax dollars to subsidize that purchase. This is the perfect time.
That really is the bottom line for most of the things that are on the table right now being discussed, is that bills that would say every American has to have health insurance means you have to buy that health insurance, whether it costs you $300 a month or $4,000 a month, you have to have the health
insurance. And they tried that in Massachusetts, and it's not working. It's not controlling costs. It's unaffordable. It doesn't make any sense. On the General Motors and auto companies point, I mean, GM is the biggest provider of health care in the United States. You can almost say that they are a health care provider more than they're an automaker. And $1,300 is the cost of each car, so it affects every consumer, not just GM. And so businesses have been starting to call for single payer as well, but it's the one segment of business that's profiting from people's illness who is so powerful in this finance committee that they're keeping the obvious solution off the table. We'd be better off, by the way, without the Obama-Democrat bill than with it.
We have to go back to the phones here, and then we'll go back to Adam Schneider, too, one of our three guests here today, joins us by phone. We're talking about the single health payer argument and battle to be part of this discussion in this country and why it's not on the table in Washington and why maybe it should be part of the discussion so America can decide which way it wants to go. 410-319-8888. Allison in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Allison.
I really, this is kind of maybe a dumb question, but
no such
I
thing.
Really never heard a single cogent explanation of what single-payer system is and why it gets their hackles up so much. What are the ramifications of it that makes the industry go nuts?
Single-payer means do away with the industry. Single-payer means no more private insurance companies. You get your insurance from the government provides for paying for health care, and there's no need for the insurance industry. That's why their hackles are up, because they're going to be put out of business. Now, John Conyers, in his bill, has a transition period that allows for the people in that industry to be retrained and go into other areas of work. But we don't need the private insurance industry, and it costs us 30% of health care. 30% of health care for something we don't need. It makes no sense at all for us to keep going down this path. So single payer simplifies things. It has one payer rather than 1,500 payers. It allows people to have more choice of doctors, more choice of hospitals, more choice of health care.
Basically, Allison, it's a single payer. Theoretically, the way it works in Europe is a pass-through system. It's a governmental system that everybody contributes in the country through their taxes. Businesses, you and I, we all contribute through our taxes. And then you go to a doctor and you submit whatever healthcare card, and everything is taken care of there, as opposed to the system now where we all have to kind of pay for it ourselves. And the 30% that Kevin was talking about is that 30 cents of every dollar that is spent on healthcare insurance is spent in overhead in the insurance company in administrative costs. Those costs get wiped out of that system. Have you any other questions, Allison? Please go ahead.
There would be no premiums, actually. It would be like taken out of your paycheck or whatever?
Exactly. There are no co-pays, no deductibles, no what we call financial barriers to care. It changes the whole playing field. It creates a healthcare system that's focus is to provide care. And because the government administers the fund, there's public accountability. So each person contributes into this fund. And because 80% of us are healthy and only usually about 20% of us need healthcare, serious healthcare, there's enough money to pay for the healthcare needs of the ones who need it. And then when we're sick, guess what? We don't lose our insurance. We actually can get care. So it changes. It makes it much simpler. It makes it so that we can go to the doctor when we need to, that we have choice of doctors. It's just that the dollars come from a single fund, but the other provision of health care stays the same.
And Adam, do you want to add anything to that?
Adam's very good at explaining.
And Margaret touched on it, is that the point of insurance, any kind of insurance, is to spread risk. And right now we have two different pools. Right, we have a private pool that is Medicare, that's Medicaid. So it covers people who are poorer, people who are sicker, people who are older, people who are disabled. And then we have a public system that tries to keep out everybody who's sick. And they want to keep people who are sick out because they cost money. And the more they have to pay for health care, the less money there is for them. The idea of a single payer is that the risk would be the risk pool. We would all be in the same pool, and the risk would be spread over everybody instead of having, one group on one side and one on the other.
It's the public one that takes care of the sick and the disabled, and the private.
Reversed. Yeah.
No problem. Let's go back to the phone to Allison. Thank you so much for your call. I'm glad you're part of the show.
Yep, thanks a lot.
And go to our website later at steinershow.org, and you can link to all these sites to learn more about this debate taking place. 410-319-8888, as we look at the single-payer healthcare advocates, why they want to be part of the discussion, why they're not part of the discussion, why they stood up at the U.S. Finance Committee and were arrested, and why America's talking about those arrests now. And Watima, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I'm calling because I have a past working experience and current working experience with individuals who are low income with breast cancer and HIV, and making sure they have healthcare coverage. And I support a single payer system. However, I do have a question of what happens to the thousands of people who are currently employed by health insurance or private health insurance companies, and if there's any discussion in place about how we can kind of transition them into a single payer system.
That's a good question.
Yeah, definitely.
The
current legislation in the House of Representatives is H.R. 676, which was brought on by John Conyers. And in that bill, it spells out very clearly that there is a two-year period during which people who are employed will be displaced from their employment because of the creation of this system, will receive retraining, and actually their income will be maintained up to an income of $100,000 per year based on what they were currently making during that two-year period while they undergo retraining and finding a new job. So it's they're taken care of. And I think that their new job won't be denying health care, I hope, and so it'll be more satisfying for them.
To give you an example of what Dr. Flowers is talking about, Belima, I was reading just now on the online, Congressman Conyers, of course, is one of the congressional leaders he represents, Detroit has for many years. Mm-hmm. What his bill, which is Bill 676 that Margaret Flowers was talking about, the Medicare for All bill, as he calls it, talks about how 28 industrialized nations have single-payer universal health care systems that he proposes in this bill, that the U.S. ranks near the bottom in life expectancy, 20th, infant mortality, 23rd, which is, when you think about that, it's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. For a country as advanced as ours. And what the bill does is a family of four making a median income of $56,200 a year would pay about $2,700 in payroll taxes, as you would anyway, that would cover all health care costs. No deductibles, no co-pays, and no worrying about catastrophic care, and it covers everything. And it would save immediately over $286 billion. In healthcare costs in this country. That's what his bill purports to do, and that's the bill that they are fighting for. And that's part of it is Congressman Conyers and the
we have 75 co-sponsors.
75 co-sponsors of the bill in the U.S. Congress are saying this discussion. We need a seat at the table in our own Congress to be part of this discussion. Right now, they're not. And if you want to have this part of the discussion, then we need to let all of our congressmen and senators know that that's what the citizens demand. Whether you agree with single payer or not, should be at the table as part of this discussion.
Congressman Cummings is one of the co-sponsors.
He is.
So he's a supporter.
And Donna Edwards,
Congresswoman, who was on our show yesterday.
Congressman Sarbanes has not signed on. And Congressman Sarbanes seems to be opposed to this. And I'd urge people who are in Congressman Sarbanes' district to let him know that you want a single payer system. He needs to be moved on this issue and moved pretty quickly.
And we're having a town hall, healthcare town hall, in his district on May 30th, which we'll post on our websites as well.
In Towson, Maryland.
410-319-8888. And Jim in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Jim.
And hello to your three marvelous guests. They're all friends of mine, so I really do appreciate what they did in Washington and that they are on the radio with you now. As soon as I heard that Margaret was arrested, I thought back to another friend, Ann Feeney, who's a singer-songwriter, and one of my favorite songs of hers is called Have You Been to Jail for Justice? So I think our three fine folks there have been to jail for justice this week.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim, for calling in. Let's go to another caller, 410-319-8888, and Hillary, you're on the air.
I'm 88 years old. I'm a retired physician. I've been blind for the last 15 years. But prior to that, I spent 28 years in clinical practice and 21 years in administrative medicine. Mm-hmm. And my opinion over the years, like many other physicians, has changed about the subject of health care. And I am definitely in favor of the single-payer situation. And the friends of mine, unfortunately, most of them are now dead, had also changed their mind over the years. But what I'm concerned about is that if you don't get something done while Obama is in, I think that it's going to continue the way it is because, unfortunately, Congress is for sale.
Your last statement is correct. And that last statement is what we want to talk about again. And I'd like to ask you just one quick question. I'm curious, what do you think in your time as a physician and your friends' experiences as physicians over the years, men and women who, as you in your 80s, what changed your minds?
Well, the way it, it The HMOs, when they came in, probably in the early 70s, were supposed to be run by physicians who could figure out how much should be done and how to do it properly. And, you know, you wouldn't get into extra laboratory tests and things like that, but which they were worrying about getting sued if they didn't do them. But nevertheless, it was to be run by physicians, but the insurance companies just took it over. And all of a sudden, the physician was no longer running his practice. He's being told what he could do and what he couldn't do, and that's the thing that made the big big change.
I do appreciate you listening to our show and to calling in, and I just want to thank you, as I do all physicians who have taken care of people over the years. I thank you for being a doctor.
You're your father's son, Mark.
I am my father's son. I'm proud of it.
I know you are.
Yeah, you should be.
He was a doctor who took care of the people. He wouldn't charge people who didn't have money. He was one of the last doctors who would walk into the high-rises in the East Side and West Side to treat people in their homes. Into his 80s, he did that. His little black bag, walking to the high-rises. He was fearless. Yeah, he was one of my heroes.
And a tragedy of what we have right now is that doctors want to do that, and they're not able to practice quality medicine. And so we're losing, and we have a serious shortage of primary care physicians because they're not being reimbursed by the insurance companies and they're not being able to practice quality medicine. So this is kind of a side effect of what's happening.
We only have a few minutes left, and I do want to try to get to one more caller or two if we can, a bunch of you calling in. Oh, let's get to Aaron's question here, another caller, and then we'll come back to the last question if we have time. Aaron, you're on the air.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Well,
thanks for having the panel. I am a health insurance customer, and I don't understand all the dynamics of the health insurance beast, but I have two questions for your panel.
Sure.
The first is I see single payer turning over healthcare administration to the federal government, and that to me opens it up to politicizing certain aspects of healthcare, especially reproductive issues, things like HPV vaccine, that sort of thing, denying those kinds of care, swinging the quality of health care based on political considerations. The other question I have is kind of related to the idea of health care as entitlement, where, you know, like Social Security, we're taking payroll taxes and paying in for health care, but the payroll tax base, which would be my generation, is shrinking as the most expensive generation to care for is growing as the boomers retire, and it just seems to be a mismatch and another opportunity for some real cost acceleration.
Aaron, those are great questions. I'm interrupting this because we only have like 3 minutes left, and I want to give our guests a chance to answer those and kind of pithily as they can. So you want to start?
I think if everybody's in, it makes healthcare sacrosanct, and that's what you see in countries that have single payer. And as far as Social Security goes, we've developed a system that can be improved, but right now it's secure until about 2050, and so we're able to handle that. And I think if you do a healthcare for all situation with single payer, we can do the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's the government that's going to be funding the healthcare, but it's important to make that kind of a quasi-governmental agency, so it is somewhat immune to the political swings, and that's what we're intending to do. But it's going to be healthcare providers that are determining what's the appropriate care that's given.
You have a final thought on that, Adam? Before?
Well, I would just say in terms of the costs, that's every reason in the world that we shouldn't be spending 30% of our healthcare dollar on the insurance industry, and it should be going to provide healthcare.
Good point.
And we can't afford to waste it.
So very quickly, we have like just a couple minutes left, maybe a little less. Where do you all go from here? Do you go back to the Hill? Do you get arrested again? What do you do?
There's a lot of people who reacted yesterday to our activity who are very happy, and I think you're going to start to see this build. There's going to be more and more people getting involved. It won't be, I don't think, us eight getting arrested, but we'll be there to help.
And Mark,
others will.
And Mark, you were saying before we went on the air that you've heard from physicians from across the country on this.
That's right.
Yeah, they were asking me if they would lose their medical license if they got arrested because they'd like to be arrested too. But this is just the beginning, I hope, of what becomes the civil rights movement of this decade, because that's what it's going to take, and it's going to take all of us engaging directly with our Congress members, and if we need to, engaging in acts of nonviolent civil disobedience. This is the time if we want real change.
Do you think that this will get on the table?
I think what's going to happen this year is this bill is going to fall apart and be defeated, and then they're going to face reality that the only way to pay for health care for all is single payer. Then Obama can go back to his original belief, which was in favor of single payer, and put aside the people who paid for his campaign.
And we're not giving up. We're still going to the Hill.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You went back to the Hill as well, Adam, I take it.
Yeah.
Okay.
it's too important.
I want to thank all three of you for being with us. Dr. Margaret Flowers, Kevin Zeese, Adam Schneider. You can find out how to hit their groups and by on the web and see what they're saying and doing by going to steinershow.org. It's a pleasure to have the three of them on. We'll continue our discussion about healthcare and the future of America in the future. Thank the three of you for being with us, and thank you all for your activism and your fight for our country. Good to have
thank
you all
you for
here.
Having
thanks,
us, Mark.
Mark, for making for this part attention. Of the discussion.
Thank you all being here. So, folks, we're going to take a very short break and come back. I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite, Baltimore's free monthly magazine of ideas and innovation. This month, Urbanite delves into hidden phenomena, shadowy characters, undisclosed locations, and other mysteries of Baltimore. It's the Secrets issue, available now at more than 800 locations around the region and online at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. When we return, we will be joined by Darnell Shields and Jenks Morton talking about their film Men to Boys, the incredible work being done in the African-American community to about bringing men to their children and more. Stay with us.